get down on my rusty knees and pray. I can pray to Yahweh occasionally. And I can ask him, Lord, I'm struggling with some sin right now. I'm struggling with being bound to something that I don't want to be bound to. I find myself addicted. I need you to sanctify me. Lord, I need you to cleanse me. Lord, I need you to purify me. I need you to work in my life, Lord, and set me apart for your service. So Yahweh Makadosh is the name that we call on whenever we find ourselves in sin, whenever we find ourselves caught up in bondage. That is the name that we cry out to.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Yahweh Mekadeshkem, the Lord who sanctifies you, from our series, The Names of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Yahweh Mekadeshkem, the Lord who sanctifies you.
In bondage, that is the name that we cry out to. When I think about Yahweh Mekadesh, he's able to transform a sinner into a saint. He's able to take the vilest sinner and transform them into the godliest. We all have heard of John Newton, the gentleman that wrote the song Amazing Grace. He said, Amazing Grace, a wicked and immoral individual. But yet still, when he was confronted with the sanctifying grace of God, God took him from being a sinner and transformed him to being a saint. I think about this virus situation that we're in right now. And I remember when this thing first broke, how that people, when they went grocery shopping, they would bring their groceries back home. And maybe some people are still doing this. They would bring their groceries back home. And they would sit it in a designated area. And they wouldn't use those groceries until they had taken the sterile wipes or they had taken some type of cleansing agent and wiped their groceries down. And then they moved them to a place where they could say, okay, now we can use these groceries. You know what? You think about that. That is the process of sanctification. That when you brought them home, that they were unusable. That you had to cleanse them. You had to purify them. And then you put them in another place where you say, okay, now I can use this. When we think about our God, when we think about Yahweh Mekadesh, and realize that many of us were in a place in our life where we couldn't be used. We had the quote-unquote corona germs. Now, I know corona wasn't back then. I'm saying that figuratively now. We had the germs on us. We had the filth on us. And we weren't in a position to be used by God. But God took us. God sanctified us. And God put us in a place but we can now be used by him. When I think of the church at Corinth, these were a godless group of individuals in the flesh. They were divisive. They tolerated sin. They took each other to court. They were abusing the Lord's Supper. So these people in this church, they were some rascals. Right? But notice when Paul writes to them and how he addresses them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Did you hear that? Called to be saints. Called to be saints. He said that, you know, you used to be a certain way. That in the flesh you had all these issues going on. He said, but now you are called to be saints. Not only are they called to be saints, but he says that they are sanctified in Christ Jesus. God can take the vilest sinner, clean them up, put them in a place where he can use them. Just think. And I know some of you grew up in a righteous environment. You grew up in a godly family. You grew up in the house of the Lord. But then there's another group that they didn't have the same fortune to be able to do that. And you ought to thank God that you were able to grow up in an environment where you were protected and sheltered from the sinful lifestyle. But there's a group that they grew up enjoying the sins of the world. There's a group, as I say, you drank more liquor than there is water in the Allegheny River. Right? You were out there, and God transformed your life. And the reason that he transformed, because he has the power to be able to do it. He is Yahweh Makadosh, the God who sanctifies us. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 again. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. He sanctified us. He's called us to be saints. And I want to tell you this, that God is in the business of sanctification. And God loves sanctifying things. He sanctified the seasons. He sanctified places. He sanctified vessels. He sanctified people. He sanctified the priests. He even sanctified cities. God loves sanctifying things. So when we say sanctify, what do we mean? We mean that he loves to cleanse them, purify, then put them in his service, activate them in his service. I think about my life, how that God took me and he purified me, he cleansed me, and then he put me in his service to teach and preach the word of God. What has God cleansed you from? What has God purified you from? But perhaps the more significant question that we can ask now is not only what he cleansed you from, and not only what he purified you from, but now, what has he set you apart to do? What has he set you apart to do? God didn't cleanse you just when you go on about your business, living your life to yourself. God didn't purify you just so that you could go and make a bunch of money and live a good life. God cleansed you. God purified you so that he could set you apart in service for him. I thank God. I love teaching and preaching the word of God. And I know that is what God has set me apart for. And I know in order to get me to this place where he set me apart to do what he's called me to do, that first he had to purify me, and first he had to cleanse me. So I'm asking you, my friend, are you cleansed? Are you sanctified? Has God worked in your life? Has he set you apart for a specific task? Has he set you apart for service in his kingdom? I'm talking today about Yahweh Makadosh, God who sanctifies. What is sanctification? Sanctification is God making me holy in my conscience, that's my mind, my conduct, and my conversation. Now, does that mean that I'm always holy in those areas? I wish I could say that every time I hit the mark, I know I come up short. I know sometimes that I have thoughts that I shouldn't have. I know sometimes I act in ways that I shouldn't act. And I know that sometimes I say things that I shouldn't say. But I praise God that in this process of sanctification, that he's doing his job and he's working in me to keep me clean and to keep me pure. This chart that I'm putting up on the screen, it talks about three phases of salvation. Three phases of salvation. You were saved, that's justification. You are being saved, that's sanctification. And you will be saved, that's glorification. And when we think about justification, that's a past act. That when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were justified. You were declared right with God. One day in the future, you'll be glorified. And that means that you'll be free from the very presence of sin. But through this process of sanctification, this is where we are working this thing out now with God. Now, so God does his job. You know, God sanctifies us. God sets us apart for his service. And as we look at this being set apart for his service, that means that sanctification is an ongoing process. Again, I'm going to show you something here in a second to say that God has already done his part. Now, there's a part that we play in sanctification. But before I get to that, let me just share with you this, and that is God's standard has always been holiness. God's standard has always been holiness. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God says that you shall be holy because I am holy. And then we move into the New Testament. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Or that word conversation there actually means lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the standard. That's the standard. I like Coach Tomlin. I like what he says, coach of Pittsburgh Steelers. When somebody gets hurt, and next person behind him, he said that the standard don't drop off. You know, we expect the same from them as we do from the guy that was there before them. You know, the standard, and I love it, the standard is the standard. Right? The standard is the standard. And so even as we look at this idea of holiness, the standard is the standard. In the Old Testament, God called people. In the New Testament, God calls people to be holy. Now let me tell you something about Yahweh Mukadesh. He doesn't drop. This is powerful. He doesn't drop the standard. Woo! He doesn't drop the standard. But you know what he does? He puts things in order to help us reach the standard. He gave his son, Titus 2:14, so that we can reach the standard. He gave us his spirit. Why? So we can reach the standard. He gave us his word. Why? So we can reach the standard. He gave us a new nature. Why? So we can reach the standard. God's standard never changed. Holiness in the Old Testament, holiness in the New Testament. God realized that we can't do it, so he did everything that he could do to bring us up to the standard. Wow. What a mighty God we serve. He loves us so much that even though he didn't drop the standard, he did everything he could. That just blows my mind. He did everything he could to bring us up to the standard. And so, as we look at Yahweh Bekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, since he has done his part in sanctification, the question is, how do we walk in our sanctification? Or we can put it another way, what's my responsibility for my sanctification? God has done everything that he can do to sanctify me. He's done, what more can he do than he's already done? He's done everything he can to sanctify me. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, it says, but in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In the house, there's all kinds of vessels, gold, silver, wood, clay, right? So it doesn't make any difference whether you're gold, silver, wood, or clay. That some are to honor and some are to dishonor. So just because you're gold, that don't necessarily mean that you are a vessel to honor. Likewise, just because that you are clay or wood, that don't mean that you're a vessel to dishonor. He says that in this house that there are many vessels. When you look at your house, you got your good china, you got your mason jars, you got your plastic cups. Right? You got all these vessels in your house. And which ones do you which ones do you use? The ones that are clean. Oh, somebody needs to hear that right there. Which ones do you use? You use the ones that are clean. The ones that have been cleansed, the ones that have been purified, the ones that have been set aside. Let me read the next verse. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, purge himself from what? From the filth. If he purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Oh, we got that word again. Sanctified and meet for the master's use. And prepared unto every good work. Notice the three things that it said here. It said that you would be sanctified. It said that you would be meet for the master's use, and that you would be prepared for good works. Yes, we do have a part in this sanctification. God is, like I said, God has done everything that he can do. But we have a part in this sanctification. So, as I close, let me share with you a couple of things from Psalm 101. And you can read these verses. I encourage you to go back and read these verses. I'm just going to draw a point from these verses. How can you walk in your sanctification? Four things. How can you walk in your sanctification? First of all, well, let me go ahead and read Psalm 101 and verse 2. And that is, you can resolve to be holy in your conduct. Resolve to be holy in your conduct. Psalm 101 and verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will behave myself wisely. That as far as my conduct is concerned, I'm going to do the best that I can to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. I'm going to resolve to be holy in my conduct. God has done his part. God has, Yahweh Bekadesh, he has done his part. He has set us aside. What can I do? I can resolve to walk in that holiness. I can resolve to be holy in my home. Notice what the psalmist said. I will behave myself in a perfect way. O men, will thou come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Who knows you better than anybody else? The people that live with you. The psalmist said that as far as my part of sanctification is concerned, that I'm going to be holy in my house. I'm going to try to live a godly life before the people that know me best. I'm going to try to live a godly life in my home. It's easy to let your guard down in your home. It's easy to let stuff creep in on you that can ruin your life. But you got to make a commitment that you're going to live a godly life in your home. I think a lot of people's sin originates right in their home. Right? And if God has sanctified me, if God has set me apart, then I need to do my part by living a godly life in my home. Notice the next thing he says, that I resolve to be holy in my contemplation. That's in my thoughts. I will set no wicked thing before my eye. I'm not going to allow evil to come before my eyes. I'm not going to allow it to come before my eyes and then come into my mind. You got to resolve to be holy in your conduct, holy in your home, holy in your mind, and then finally, I like this, holy in your community. He says that, verse 4, a perverse heart shall apart from me, and look at this, I will not hang out with a wicked person. He said, I will not know a wicked person. I'm not going to hang out with people that's going to mess up my sanctification. Man, you're going to mess up my sanctification. You know, there are certain people that will mess up your sanctification if you hang out with them. So you need to let some people go. I tell young people, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That if you hang out with the wrong people, that they can mess up your sanctification. So the psalmist said, I'm going to be holy in my community. He says that I'm not going to hang out with people, in verse 5, who slanders his neighbor. He said, I'm not going to hang out with people that have a high look and a proud heart. He said that I'm not going to hang out, in verse 7, with people that cheat. He says that I'm not going to hang out with people who tell lies. He was going to be holy in his community. Yahweh Bekadesh, the God who sanctifies. God has done his job of sanctification. He's just left a little part for us to do. We've got to be resolved to be holy in our conduct, holy in our home, holy in our minds.
Thank you for joining us today on And Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness, from our series, The Names of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Yahweh Mekadeshkem, the Lord who sanctifies you, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Mekadeshkem, the Lord who sanctifies you. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Mekadeshkem, the Lord who sanctifies you. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.